Welcome to Season 5 of the Raise Your Game Show, a podcast that deconstructs the principles of high performance in sports and business. I'm your host, Alan Stein Jr. In this season, I'm going to interview a brilliant, an innovative source of unparalleled knowledge, someone with experience, wisdom, and insight well beyond his years, someone that is truly an internationally renowned icon in both sports and business.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
Yes, you heard that correctly. I'm going to ask myself some thought-provoking and pivotal questions, and then answer them with the unmatched astuteness and profound awareness that only I can. To make sure my responses to my own questions are sincerely spontaneous, I did not share the questions with myself in advance. The knowledge I drop to my own questions will be raw and unrehearsed.
I know you. You know you. And I know you know that I know you.
I hope that me, interviewing myself, helps you raise your game. Speaking of raising games, every middle school, high school, and college student athlete on the planet needs a game plan to maximize their potential on and off the court. Check out the new online course parents, coaches, and athletes themselves are raving about at makeyourgameplan.com. That's makeyourgameplan.com.
Booyakasha, check this out, yo.
And now, on with the show.
Hey, Alan, before I dive into today's episode, I wanted to ask you if you offer any programs designed to help coaches raise their game this fall.
I'm glad you asked. And yes, I do. Assuming they've already read my book, Raise Your Game, I'm about to release an online course called Your Game Plan, Coaches Edition. I released a version for student athletes 2 months ago and got a tsunami of requests for a coach's version, so I went back in the lab and developed one. Your Game Plan Coaches Edition is an on-demand digital course that reinforces the traits, habits, and mindset necessary to maximize coaching performance, impact, influence, and legacy. This course is a carefully curated collection of my very best content from presentations I've delivered for coaches of every sport, at every level, all over the world. Your Game Plan Coaches Edition provides expert guidance on establishing your coaching philosophy, creating a winning culture, communicating effectively for maximum impact, creating and upholding championship standards, and strategies for responding to uncertainty and adversity.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Sounds like a very wise investment for a coach to make. How do I get it?
Sit tight. It's not out just yet. It will drop in mid-September and will be sold exclusively at makeyourgameplan.com. You can subscribe to this podcast, join my email list at allensteinjr.com, or follow me at allensteinjr on Instagram and Twitter for more up-to-date information and release dates and details.
How do you maintain optimism and poise as a leader?
I believe right now, the most important traits for us to have as leaders and as coaches is optimism and poise. Because if we have optimism and poise, that will trickle down to everyone in our program and everyone on our team. You know, our team will always take the shape of what we model for them. And now more than ever, we need optimism and poise. I don't know how many of you have been glued to the TV the last several Sundays to watch The Last Dance, but, you know, as a lifetime Michael Jordan fan, I most certainly was. And, you know, it brought back so many feelings and thoughts of nostalgia watching that. I mean, it was such a formative time in my life when I watched Michael Jordan become the Michael Jordan that everyone's enamored with now. And it reminds me of when I was 14 years old back in 1990. There was a Saturday in early 1990 that was shaping up to be the best day of my young life. And that's because my dad got our family tickets to go see Michael Jordan play live here in Washington, D.C. at the Cap Center. And, you know, Michael Jordan was a hero. He was someone I'd idolized. My entire room was plastered with Michael Jordan posters and memorabilia. I had every pair of Jordans to date at that time. So this was really shaping up to be the greatest day of my life. And my dad got the four of us, my younger brother, my mom, and himself, in our brown station wagon, if you think of Clark W. Griswold from the Vacation series, and we hopped on the highway and head to the game. And as we're cruising along on the highway, and it's a beautiful Saturday, no traffic, all of a sudden my dad slows down and pulls off onto the shoulder of the highway, which was really strange. Well, we had run out of gas. And if you're wondering how we could have possibly run out of gas, my dad had taken a yellow post-it note and he had stuck it on the dashboard and it just said, get milk. It was a reminder for him to pick up milk the previous day after work. And the post-it note just happened to be covering the gas gauge, so he had no idea that he was bone dry. Well, as soon as I realized that we were out of gas, I immediately went into full panic mode. Here I am, 14 years old, and I was immediately reduced to tears. You know, my anxiety shot through the roof. I'm saying things like, I'm not gonna get to see Jordan. You know, I was really and truly so upset. And I remember my dad calmly just turned around and looked at my brother and I and said, don't worry, you're not gonna miss a thing. And then he got out of the car and I could see he was starting to jog away from the car towards the exit in front of us, which appeared to be really far away. And, you know, I continued to sit in the back seat and just pout and stew and think of all of the reasons why I wasn't going to get to see Michael Jordan and why this was no longer going to be the greatest day of my life. And then I saw something that I'll never forget. I saw my dad sprinting back towards the car, holding a red gas can. And by the time he got to the car, he was soaked in sweat. He was breathing really heavily, but he filled us up quickly and we were on our way. And by the time we pulled into the Cap Center and hurried in and handed the ushers our tickets and got to our seats, they just started singing the national anthem. So my dad was right. We didn't miss a thing. And I didn't really appreciate the lesson that that taught me until many years, actually many decades later. And that's when things aren't going your way, when you're faced with challenge, when you're faced with adversity, the best thing to do is have optimism and poise. That if you can stay calm and you can stay resolute, you'll have better critical thinking skills, you'll have clearer thoughts, and you'll be able to take positive action to improve your situation. And it took many years for me to realize that, but it's something that I really admire and appreciate about my dad in general, is his ability to approach everything with optimism and poise. And I realize right now with this current pandemic that the list of negatives is a mile long. And there's no shortage of them, and we hear them every single day. You know, and I want to encourage you all to have the optimism and poise to not disregard those, because those are factual and they're things that we have to deal with. But I want to make sure that you're consistently looking for silver linings and the good part of the social distancing and the pandemic that we're facing. Because if you look hard enough, there are several that I believe we can draw on and pull from to ensure that when we move forward as better versions of ourselves, both personally and professionally, and that we come out of this thing as the best coaches that we're capable of being. And that leads me to my first somewhat rhetorical question, certainly no need to answer. And that is, are you waiting for this pandemic to be over, or are you preparing for it? There's a huge difference between waiting and preparing. Now, my guess is you've been thoroughly preparing for this to be over. But my question is, how about your athletes? Are they waiting or are they preparing? Inevitably, if I came to watch any one of your practices and I arrived 30 to 40 minutes early and I just kind of sat back in the bleachers or the stands and I watched what your players were doing before you blew the whistle and officially started practice, I could take every one of your players and I could put them in one of those two buckets. You either have players that are waiting for practice to start, or you have players that are preparing for practice to start. Because I spent most of my life in basketball, most of the references and analogies I'll use will be in basketball because that's what's most organic to me. And I used to watch lots of basketball practices because coaches would ask me to help consult on what they can do to improve. And a player that was waiting for practice to start, didn't have their shoes tied, didn't tuck their shirt in, were usually kind of sitting back casually scrolling through their phone, checking their Instagram account, maybe in the hallway, you know, trying to talk to their girlfriend or boyfriend. And they were just waiting for the coach to come in, blow the whistle, and huddle everybody up. But then you had the players that were preparing for practice to start. Those were the players that arrived 45 to 50 minutes early. went through some type of warm-up to get a sweat going, and were doing something purposeful to get their minds, their bodies, and their hearts ready to compete at the highest level. So that way, when the coach blew the whistle and brought everyone in, they didn't need a ramping up period. They were ready to compete. They were ready to be fully engaged and enthusiastic. They were ready to go right from the jump. So I share that with you because I believe that's very helpful terminology that you can pass down to your players. To even though we don't necessarily have all the answers to when things will start going back to some sense of normalcy, they can start preparing for whenever or whatever that will look like immediately. And I'm sure many of them have been, but the goal is to get as many of them with that mindset as possible. And it is important to understand that we don't have the answers. You know, we don't necessarily know what the next several weeks or several months are going to look like. And I know that that level of uncertainty can cause very high anxiety and worry, not just amongst us as coaches, but definitely with our players as well. And we have to remember, you know, as coaches, we have more life experience. We should have higher emotional intelligence than the, you know, the 18, 19, 20, 21 year olds that you work with. So it's important to realize that they're going to deal with this pandemic at a different pace and in a different way than we will as adults. And we have to make sure as coaches that we are incredibly empathetic and compassionate, but that we're also very chameleon-like in dealing with each of our players. And depending on what type of team you coach and how large your team is, I can promise you that every player on your team is not processing this in the exact same way. So we have to make sure that we're not treating every player in the exact same way. It's an old John Woodenism that I've always believed and actually makes up one of the foundational principles to my parenting philosophy, and that is you treat every player fairly, but you don't treat every player equally. Some of your players will need more of your time. Some of your players will need more of your love. Some of your players you'll need to do different things with to help get them back on track. And I actually think that's one of the silver linings of this pandemic, is it's given us an opportunity to pause, to take a beat, to take a breath, to reflect. And if we use technology in the best manner possible, we can create better individual connections with our players. So if you're not already, I highly recommend that you're doing some individual check-ins to see where on the spectrum they currently fall. On one end, you have highly optimistic. On the other end, you have highly anxious. And every single one of your players and every single one of your colleagues will fall somewhere on that spectrum. And the message that you deliver to them and the way in which you deliver it to them is completely dependent upon where they fall on that spectrum. It's not where you are on the spectrum. It's not how you feel about it. It's how they feel about it. And that's what great coaches do, is you're going to go to their sandbox to play. You're going to go to their emotional level to make sure that you deliver a customized message to increase your connection. When I was a child, like many of you, they didn't have the advances in medicine and all the different flavors and types and stuff that they have today. When I was a child, you could put every child in one of those two buckets again. You had kids that could swallow a Tylenol pill, and you had kids that had to have it smashed up in applesauce to take the Tylenol pill. And I was actually one of the applesauce kids to a really ridiculously old age. But the reason I share that is I want you to think of that analogy when you're building connections with your players. You have to think, can this person take the Tylenol straight, or do I need to deliver it to them with a little bit of applesauce? And once again, it doesn't matter how you like to take your Tylenol. It doesn't matter which way you think is better to take your Tylenol. All that matters is how they prefer it. And if you can customize it the way they prefer it, give them a little applesauce if they need it, it'll be much better received. And if it's much better received, it will increase buy-in and believe-in. And ultimately, as coaches, that's what we're all trying to do, is increase buy-in and believe-in to the culture and standards and values and principles that you've set forth, not only for your program, but for the entire athletic department and the entire university. So we have to make sure we're delivering these customized messages. This pandemic has reminded me of a mantra that I've always tried to live by, but boy, has it been heightened over these last 10 weeks. And that is, I aim to do the best I can with what I have where I am. The best I can with what I have where I am. We all know about the best I can part. We all know that we need to be working as hard as we can. but it's so important that we do so under the guise of we realize that we're being limited in many ways right now. We realize we've got some proverbial handcuffs on in what we can and cannot do, more so than ever. And we can't use those things as excuses. See, when you have the mindset of do the best you can with what you have where you are, you'll eliminate three things that will absolutely prevent you and undermine you from being the best coach that you can be. Making excuses, blaming others, and complaining. If you can rid making excuses, blaming others, and complaining from what you do as a coach and can model that behavior so it trickles down to your players, you'll continue to create a culture of extreme ownership and full accountability. I use absolutes very sparingly, but I can promise you that blaming, complaining, and making excuses will never, ever improve your situation or improve your performance. So we have to learn how to mitigate or eliminate those as much as possible. And as I mentioned earlier, your players will always take form of what it is that you model. If they see you blaming, complaining, and making excuses on the current situation and the handcuffs we're all wearing, then they'll believe that it's okay for them to do that. And please know, it's so important I make this disclaimer, that everything I'm sharing with you all this morning is very basic in principle, but none of this stuff is easy. There is nothing easy about eliminating blaming, complaining, and making excuses during the middle of a global pandemic. There's nothing easy about eliminating those things when you're not able to be on the field or in the weight room or on the court with your players, because I know that's what you love to do. I know that that's what helps get you up in the morning. You love pouring into young people. You have so much respect and appreciation for your sport and for building culture. And when you can't do those things, the easiest default is to blame, complain, and make excuses. But I'm telling you now, that won't do anything to help you, and it won't do anything to help them. So we have to work really hard and hold each other accountable to try to rid those things from our behavior, our habits, and even from our vocabulary. And that's where accountability comes in. If you hear anyone on your team making excuses or blaming the circumstances or blaming a teammate or just complaining in general, we have to hold them accountable with love and compassion and get them to steer in a more positive direction. Because ultimately, the teams that will be the most successful next season are the ones that are acclimating to this the best now. And those that can acclimate the most efficiently and the most effectively now will have a head start over everybody else. And obviously, you all know, in each of your respective sports, I mean, ultimately, talent plays a major role in your ability to win games. But right after that, it has to do with the culture that you create and everyone buying in and believing in your standards and their role and having a sense of shared ownership and accountability. And those are the things that we need to focus on heavily right now. And if you do so, that will basically raise the bar. So when you do get your players back, and the restrictions have been lifted, and you can get in the weight room, on the field, or on the court, you're now dealing from a higher bar so you can move forward from there.
Thanks, Alan. I really and truly appreciate you making time in your very busy schedule to speak with yourself. Well, that's it for me. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure to join the conversation at Alan Stein Jr. on all major social platforms. Go to alansteinjr.com to subscribe to my full timeout, 30-second timeout, and overtime monthly emails, and check out makeyourgameplan.com. I look forward to helping you raise your game.